I wanted to echo what Mr. Mitchell said in his prayer. It's good to see Debbie here this evening. I'm glad she's well enough to make it this evening. And glad to see Nate here and also Joe. So we missed you guys this morning. You missed an excellent lesson that Rob brought to us about God knowing all. So if you have a chance, get on our website and you can listen to it there. Today I wanted to talk, or this evening I wanted to talk about being deeply rooted in Christ and the importance of that. The scriptures warn us of what actually happens to those who are not deeply rooted in God's word. And Christ talks about this in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. You guys can turn there if you have a Bible. I'm just going to read it real quick. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. You guys, as Christians, that's the last thing that we want to do. We want to be grounded. We want to be have roots. So that way, we're going to be strong when it comes to the temptations that we face. It's interesting in what Jesus taught about being rooted in the truth. We find that there are those who start out the journey by hearing the word, and they start out in a good way. Yet we find that, well, they actually receive the truth in joy, as the scriptures actually say as well. Yet the truth is not rooted in them deep enough. So when they start facing these temptations of the world, they fall away. And it's so sad, all the effort that they've made to become a Christian and dedicate their lives and make a covenant with God that they're going to follow them, they throw it all away due to the fact that they ran into some temptation. Rob's lesson was excellent this morning. Mine is more along the lines of being proactive, trying to help us not fall. So we're going to be looking at being deeply rooted in Christ this evening. And this parable shows us the importance of being deeply rooted in the Word of God. And we all know that falling away from Christ is a serious threat. It really is. And it's around us constantly. I find now that I'm retired that it's kind of lessen the load a little bit as far as those people around you, because you don't have to hear the potty mouths. You don't have to see the ungodly actions or whatever that people are doing in the workplace. But it is a serious threat, and it can happen to any one of us. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. I think Rob actually brought this up in his verse as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." That's the attitude that we have to have. When we're taking heed, we're aware. We're looking around. We're looking at our surroundings. We're projecting what potentially could happen if we go down this avenue or go down this avenue. Or we know there's a bad group over there. We don't want to go over there. So we have to take heed in what we do. If we back up one chapter, that was in 1 Corinthians 10:12. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, Paul talks about how important that it is to run the race. We all know the scripture, as we are going to win the crown, actually win it. This is the mindset that we have to have as Christians, is that I'm going to win this race. I'm in it for the fight. And we have to have that attitude. I'm going to go ahead and read 9:24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Again, this is a mindset that we have to have as Christians. We have to make sure that this mindset is something that we're going to be using in our everyday lives. We can't let our guard down. Otherwise, you're going to get overtaken. I enjoyed I always enjoy Mr. Mitchell's prayers, but he's talking about the way of temptation. We should always be seeking for that way of temptation, or take a step back and look for ways that we can avoid getting into that temptation. So, you know, what movies are you watching? What are you watching on TV? Becky and I just recently got rid of our cable. There's nothing but garbage on the TV. We went with straight internet, so that's kind of a side note. But my point is that it's hard to find stuff that is decent for Christians to watch on the TV or on cable, your typical cable. Look over, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Here Paul gives us an example of how those who have received the gospel, but because they were not grounded in the truth, they were actually perverting the pure word that was once delivered to them, and they received it. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I'll tell you what, when I read passages like this and they repeat themselves on the very next sentence, that shows us that that's very important and we need to perk our ears up on stuff like this. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read a couple verses here. We need to take heed and be aware of the warnings that Paul gives us concerning Christians not being deeply rooted in the gospel and allowing ourselves to be deceived by other doctrines, because they're out there. I was looking up on the internet the other day, how many religions are there out there? Somebody guesstimated 4,000 to 10,000 religions out there. There's only one religion, and that's in God's word in the Bible. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 1 and 2 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Think about that. The Spirit is expressly he's stating that in latter times some will depart. That in and of itself, guys, is something that we should be very concerned about and taking heed to these words. If the Spirit is expressly saying that in latter times people are going to depart from the faith, then we need to take heed to that and be very aware. Paul also speaks about this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. If we are not deeply rooted in the truth, guys, we're going to easily be led astray on man's doctrine, because it's easy to follow out there. It's easy for the person that is unlearned in the scriptures. We don't realize, or maybe we do, but a lot of times we don't sit back and realize how much we actually know about what is in the scriptures. If you were to, somebody was to ask you different questions or Bible trivia or whatever, you would know a lot. And the thing of it is that people do want to jump into church. They want to find God, and they're going to these community churches. They can easily be led astray. It takes a lot of study and a lot of hard work to make sure that we are following God's word. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Again, take heed, guys. We all need to be very cautious. Again, Mr. Mitchell mentioned this in his prayer, that we're to check what I'm saying, what Rob's saying, what any man up here is preaching. We need to double check that. Go home, listen to the tape, go through the scriptures. The Hebrew writer, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, look what he says in Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There are a lot of deceitful people out there, false preachers, and we have to be very aware of this. It's kind of interesting because this is actually talking about somebody who was believing, because it says in departing from the living God. They were once with the living God. Now they have departed from the living God. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of sin. And again, if we're not deeply rooted, this is what the lesson's about this evening, all right, we will become vulnerable and more susceptible to apostasy. We need to be very careful here. Another example in Hebrews, go two chapters over, chapter 6, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." With just these passages that we've read, guys, these few examples here, we should be asking ourselves, why would anybody in this room not want to be deeply rooted in the Word of God? Because we see all these warnings and we can project out there what's going to happen if we don't follow God's Word. And if we do that, apostasy is going to be less likely to happen to us. So we have to be very careful here. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Being rooted and grounded in Christ starts with us being rooted and grounded in love. We have to have the right attitude. We have to do this in love. We're supposed to have Christ in our hearts and be rooted and grounded in love. And this is what Ephesians 3, Paul's talking about in verses 14 through 19. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being what? Rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Back to the parable of the sower. Ask yourself, do you want to just drift away? All right, once you fall or wither away is what the scriptures say. This is the description that Christ uses in his parable, that we will just wither away after you fall away from God. And that's, again, in Matthew 13, verses 5 and 6. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Here we find out that we have to have the desire for truth. Do you have the desire for truth? If you don't, you can eeny, meeny, miny, mo and go to any congregation that you want to worship in. But if you have the desire for truth, the truth in God's word, the Bible, then we need to grow strong in Christ. Growing is part of getting those roots. That's what happens. That's how we become stronger. And I, not to point anybody out, but we have some new converts in our assembly today. And this is for you, not only for you, but it's for all of us, but especially for you, because you guys need to continue to grow in God's word. It's that important. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." That you may grow thereby. How do you do that? You set aside these things, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy, the evil speaking. We have to do that as new Christians. We have to do that as seasoned Christians, if there's such a thing, all right? Christians that have been around for a while. We have to do that. We have to continue to do that. Daily is what we have to do. So in order to be able to grow, make sure that we are putting these things aside. Are we going to potentially sin in the future? Yeah, that potential is there. But as soon as we sin and we recognize that, we need to take care of that immediately so we can mend that relationship that we have with God. Because we know, Rob pointed out in his lesson today, that sin separates us from God. Look over at Colossians 2 and verse 6 and 7. Being rooted in the gospel is something that does not occur by ourselves. That's one of the benefits that we have in this congregation. In any sound congregation, is you have the benefit of brethren that are trying to make it, make that goal that you have, the same goal, make it to heaven. So it's not, this doesn't occur by ourselves. We need to be taught the truth. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, which we all have, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. As you have been taught. So we hopefully we've been taught by the scriptures and they haven't been twisted or anything like that. But as we've been taught, we need to make sure that we recognize that this is not just something that we're doing alone. Hey, I'm going to, you know, be a Christian. No, you have help out there. That's why God established the church. We can lean on each other. Let me finish the thing here. Rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Back up to Colossians, the first chapter again. We're going to start in verse 21. The process of growing as a Christian, this isn't just going to happen overnight either. This is going to take a little bit of time. Some Christians grow phenomenally quick. I know Alan was talking about the gentleman in Malawi, it was in India, how much he is just soaked in all this scripture and is able to give an answer to those that ask. We should be striving to do that as well. We are never too old to be learning the scriptures or memorizing scriptures. You know, I like to play these games where I ask a question, or if I'm baffled on, hey, if somebody was to ask me this, what would I say? What scriptures would I go to? We should be practicing that. We should be ready to give an answer. I know we can say, you know what, let me get back to you, but it's stronger if you say, hey, look over here to this chapter. This is what Paul says, or this is, you know, what Luke says. So, Colossians 1:21. Through 23. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, that's conditional, indeed you continue in the faith. Grounded and steadfast. There's those words there. Grounded and steadfast. And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. As we just read, our being rooted and grounded in Christ, it keeps us settled. All right? It keeps us settled. If you look up that word settled, it's actually from the Greek word Hedreios, all right, and if you look, you can look it up in the Thayer's dictionary, and the Strong's number is 1476. You're going to find the words mean the word the word settled means firm, unmovable, and steadfast. So anytime you see steadfast, you more than likely can plug in that word settled just as easy, as opposed to being you know, tossed to and fro. As Paul talks about in Ephesians 4:14, we're supposed to be settled in the word. In other words, being firm, being unmovable, being steadfast. Let's notice a few scriptures that address this being settled. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jump over to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. The Hebrew writer writes, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if this, again, conditional, we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. See all these words, steadfast, firm, unmovable. This is what we have to be as Christians. Drop down to verse 14 in same chapter, Hebrews 3. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look at this, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. There it is again, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Again, firm, unmovable. Anyone who begins the journey of Christ must be secured firmly by the roots, or they simply are going to fall away. And we know that, so let's do something about it. Let's continue to worship God and study His Word on a daily basis, all right? And hopefully that's been very clear from the scriptures that we've just covered, that we need to be steadfast. What we also need to understand is we're not talking about somebody who forgets to study their Bible one day. We're talking about somebody who is actually forgetting God. They're on that path of forgetting God because they're not doing the daily study, because they're not praying to God, because they're not talking to other Christians and hanging around other Christians. We need to make sure that we look out for each other. But what we are talking about is the seriousness of falling away from God. We're talking about someone who forgets the Lord and their commitment and their covenant that they actually made with God. Any Christian that's not deeply rooted in the Lord will eventually find themselves forgetting God. The Israelites are a perfect example of that. And kind of like what Rob was saying in his lesson this morning, as far as sin, I know he was kind of alluding to sin can have a snowball effect in the sense that you start sinning and you don't take care of it, you sin again, and then before you know it, you have this huge ball of sin, figuratively speaking, obviously. But we need to be careful not to get that far down the road where we feel that all is hopeless. We need to make sure that we're taking care of sin. Again, the Israelites are a perfect example of that. If you've studied the Old Testament and the stories in there, look to Psalm 106. We're going to read this real quick. It's about the Israelites and how they actually have forgotten God, actually on several occasions. So, I'm just going to read, I'm going to read 1 through 14. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. Look at verse 13. This is amazing. After all these miracles that God did. Verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. We have to be very, very careful that we're rooted in God's word. I'd like all of us to ask ourselves, are you, or am I, grounded in God's word, or deeply rooted is the term that I was using, deeply rooted in God's word. It's so easy for us nowadays to look back at the Israelites and say, oh, how could they do that? We could pick them apart and say, yeah, they didn't have any faith. They saw all these miracles and all these wonders, and yet they still forgot the works of our Lord and tested him. Now it's time for each of us to look at our lives individually and to use this study for ourselves. Again, this is proactive. We need to better ourselves this way. Let's look at five questions we can ask ourselves just for application here. The number one I put here, am I rooted enough not to allow my family to stand between the Lord and me? We all have family. We all have loved ones that we dearly love. However, are we allowing that love to take priority over the love that we have to God? Analyze your own lives. Make sure that what you are doing is pleasing in God's sight. Remember what Matthew 10, verse 34 through 37 says. Christ is talking here. He says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Those are hard passages to read because our family are dear to us. But we are not worthy of God. We are not worthy of Christ if we are putting others before God. That's actually a form of idolatry. So we need to be very careful. These are just thought-provoking here. I don't want, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I just want all of us, including me, to analyze this. Number two, I have five of them. Am I rooted enough not to allow my worldly friends to stand between the Lord and me? I mentioned earlier, now that I'm retired, it is so much easier not to be influenced by the worldly friends that I had, whether it's at work or neighbors or whatever. I don't know. I was in the military. I know a lot of you gentlemen and possibly ladies were as well. Boy, talk about potty mouths. I mean, it's amazing. And when you're around that you can say, oh, that's not affecting me. It is affecting you. We as Christians need to protect our surroundings. We need to heed these warnings. We need to not totally stay totally away from them, but we need to be very cautious and extremely cautious when it comes to being around those worldly friendships that we have. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Again, here's a warning here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, we know this familiar passage, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. If you look over at 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 5, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think, who's they? They is your friends, all right? They think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. You guys, be the new Christians in here, be prepared to face this. If you know it's coming and you know that you can potentially face some sort of conflict or temptation, that's going to help you a lot. But just be very cautious about who you're hanging around. Number three, am I rooted enough not to allow false doctrine to be taught and thereby ruin my relationship with the Lord? This one's very important. We have to be taught enough to avoid being influenced by those teaching false doctrine. And as new babes in Christ, we were all there. All right, we have to be extra careful and make sure that what we are listening to is sound doctrine. All right, We have to be taught enough not to be deceived and recognize the difference between sound doctrine and unsound doctrine. And we have to continue to study God's word daily. I'll tell you what, that is so important. You have to keep that in the forefront of your mind on a day-to-day basis, so that way you won't stumble. Or when you come up to a temptation, you're going to know exactly what to do, and you're going to have that shield of faith, and you're going to be able to deflect that and get out of there. All right? Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. We can be deceived as well. Even seasoned Christians can be deceived. We always have to be on our guard. 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies. You know what's so amazing when you read this? Is that this was the first century Christians that we're talking about here. This is amazing to me that already they had problems. Sorry, that's just a thought that came into my brain here. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. We need to stay clear of these false teachers, folks. All right? Don't allow them to influence you, especially if you're new to the faith. Number four, am I rooted enough not to fall for the wrong person because that guy or that girl is simply physically attractive? All right? They're beautiful. There's beautiful people here on this earth. But that should not be the main thing that we are attracted to. Yeah, you're going to be attracted to that person, but we need to look at their heart. Are they Christians? Do they believe in God? Do they have good godly values? Are they part of the church? We need to ask ourselves these questions instead of just saying, you know, hubba hubba, I'm going for that person, you know, and just because of their physical appearance. I don't know if hubba hubba is a real word or not, but yeah. Anyway, look over at Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Number five, am I rooted enough not to follow the wrong leaders? I need to be really careful on this one, and we all need to be very careful on this one too. Romans 13, if you read it, is very specific about we are to obey the government. We need to make sure that we are obeying the laws, even if there are a ridiculous law. I mean, say your local law enforcement or local county or whatever, the mayor passes a law saying every Tuesday you will wear a purple, this is kind of a goofy example, but you will wear a purple sweater, and anybody found not wearing that purple sweater is going to get $1,000 ticket and potentially put in jail for a second offense. All right, is that ridiculous? Is that stupid? Is that nonsensical? Of course it is. But I'll tell you what, if it's a law that's passed, guess what Christians need to be doing? Wearing a purple shirt on Tuesday. Does it violate God's scripture? Nope. All right, so we have to, there's a lot of stuff going on in our government right now, and I'm preaching to myself right now because sometimes I get so flustered and frustrated about the ungodliness that's coming down from the top that I cringe. But we need to be very careful. I encourage everybody to read Romans 13, the chapter 13. However, remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Nebuchadnezzar was the king, and he made this great golden idol, they said. And he made a rule, a command that, hey, you're going to bow down to this when you start hearing the music playing in concert. And everybody, no matter what you're doing, you need to stop. You need to bow down and worship this idol. Guess what? Or the consequence is you're going to get thrown into the fire. Well, these three said, we can't do that. All right, we are unable to do that. They were followers of God. Well, what happened? We all know they had to go into the fire. Did it kill them? Nope, God protected them. So the point I'm trying to make is there are some rules that we as Christians can resist, in the sense if it violates God's rule, because he has priority over the laws of the land. Let's look at a few passages real quick. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not commit. Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. I lost my spot here. Isaiah 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are the oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. There are going to be leaders that are, if you were to follow them, that they would destroy your godly path, your scriptural path. Isaiah 9, verse 16, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. So if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went ahead and followed King Nebuchadnezzar's orders, then yeah, they would be destroyed. Not by the fire, not by anything, but they're going to be destroyed because they are sinning. Matthew 15, verse 4, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Look at 3 John 9 through 11. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So we need to be very careful when we're choosing not to obey something. If it's something that violates our Heavenly Father, then we don't engage in that. If it's something ridiculous as wearing a purple shirt on Tuesdays because the local government has said to do it, if I'm in that jurisdiction, I will be doing that as a Christian. Or I face not only fines and imprisonment if I do it twice, but it's kind of a goofy example. But the point I'm making, if there's a ridiculous law out there that we don't agree on and it doesn't violate God's law, then we had better follow that. That's the invitation, guys, or the lesson, and we do offer the invitation. My sincere hope is that each of us here is reminded about the importance of being deeply rooted in God's word, deeply rooted and grounded in God's word, so we don't fall away. We need to stick together. We are here to make it to that finish line together as Christians, supporting each other. Let's be so rooted and so deeply rooted that nothing can uproot us from the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to keep in the forefront of our mind. If there's somebody here this evening that has a need for the prayers of the congregations, or if you need to confess sin, you can actually take care of that tonight as we stand and sing the invitation song selected.